Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Our guest this week is Ian Schultze from Moncton, Vermont. His expert categories are Pink Floyd, MASH, The Periodic Table, and Star Trek The Next Generation. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. It's time to get our Lockdown Trivia game started. You know the rules. Are you ready for your game?
I am ready. Let's go.
All right. Ian, where are we going to start today?
So I've been listening to your episode so far and trying to figure out what would be a good strategy. And I'm still undecided about it. Pink Floyd.
All right. Your unlocked Pink Floyd question is this. Resonating with themes of absence and longing, Wish You Were Here is a tribute to what former member of Pink Floyd?
That would be the person that David Gilmour would eventually replace, Syd Barrett.
Syd Barrett is correct. You have one key. Where would you like to go with it?
Let's keep going. Pink Floyd.
All right. Pink Floyd for one key. Your question is this. What oxymoronic song title is frequently cited in fan polls and critical rankings as one of the band's best works, showing off David Gilmour as well as any other Pink Floyd tune?
An idea. So oxymoronic, we're probably talking at least a two-word title. I think this is Comfortably Numb, trying to run through other like radio hits, because that's what this would be, is a radio hit. I mean, they've got 14 studio albums or whatever, but I'm gonna take advice that Russ gave me, and he told me during Tangents, Ian, this is bar trivia, don't overthink it. So I'll just go with Comfortably Numb. Yeah,
it is Comfortably Numb, one of the best guitar solos in classic rock history, if you ask me. Two keys for Ian, and where is he gonna go with them?
Let's keep it up. Two keys for Pink Floyd.
All right, here's your question. With its distinctive 7-4 time signature, what song that made use of sound effects other than typical instrumentation was Pink Floyd's first hit in the U.S. in 1973?
1973, that would be Dark Side of the Moon, and this is Money.
It is Money. Three keys now, all correct in Pink Floyd so far. Are we going to continue, or are we going to go somewhere else?
Yeah, let's keep going.
All right, let's see how far this takes us. Here's your three-key Pink Floyd question. Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 isn't immediately preceded by Another Brick in the Wall Part 1, but instead by what song that seamlessly transitions between the two?
That is The Happiest Days of Our Lives.
And that is the correct answer, yes.
I had to be sure I was getting the all the adjectives right. And
you got them all. You are killing it so far in Pink Floyd. Do you want to finish the category, or are you going to do something chaotic here?
Let's finish it off.
All right, let's see what we got behind our four-key question. Pink Floyd got in copyright trouble for what song and had to change some of the lyrics because it plagiarized a book by a popular author at the time?
Well, good job, because I have not heard this. You're bringing new information to me.
Yes.
That wasn't really at the time. Crap. But it would have been popular. So the album Animals starts with Pigs on the Wing and ends with Pigs on the Wing. But in between the bookends of Pigs on the Wing, you've got dogs, sheep, and pigs, three different ones. So the concept behind it was taken from Animal Farm, George Orwell's Animal Farm. So I'm guessing it would be most likely on that album. I'll go with Pigs.
I love the thought process. Unfortunately, it is not the correct answer. The book that was copied was Cautionary Tales by Belloc. And the song by Pink Floyd that stole lines from the book and had to be rewritten was Matilda Mother.
Oh, okay. It does make sense because Syd Barrett took a lot of his inspiration from children's books.
Good on you for your strong performance in that category. But now there's no keys, but there's plenty of places to go. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I'm excited. I hope you are too.
All right.
Your unlocked Star Trek: The Next Generation question is this. One of the most tragic yet beautiful stories in television history, Picard plays what instrument as he experiences an entire life in a matter of moments?
I just watched this episode maybe a week or two ago. The name of the episode is Inner Light. It is, yeah, definitely one of the best episodes that they had. It's called a Resican.
He got all over that. Didn't even say flute. He knows it is a Resican flute. That is correct, Ian. Well done. Yeah, it is just one of the better 42 minutes of television history, as far as I'm concerned. It is perfect. All right, one key in your pocket again. Where do you want to go?
Let's keep going.
Star Trek: The Next Generation for one key is this. What recurring character in The Next Generation chose to appear older, either to mock Picard, empathize with him, or perhaps even to experience being an older human in Star Trek Picard?
Okay, so you said recurring. I don't think that you'd say recurring for Data. Because I think, yeah, he's the only one who would, of the main cast that would, purposely, perchance, trying to be more human, change his look. The only one who could choose to look older of the primary cast, because everybody else is a carbon-based life form who ages just like everybody else. So I'm thinking this has to be Q.
John
So I'll go.
Delancey and Q is correct. Yes. Ian, two keys back in your pocket, both courtesy of TNG. Where are we going to go next?
Let's keep going with the TNG.
All right. Your two key Star Trek: The Next Generation question is this. Dr. Noonien Soong was busy when he created Data because he also created what eventually evil twin brother of Data's who became a formidable adversary to the crew of the Enterprise?
I'm pausing not because I don't know the answer, but because I'm trying to think of the episode, the two-parter that we just watched like a week ago, because we've kind of started going through the series again, my spouse and I. The answer is Lore.
Yes, Lore is the correct answer for Data's evil twin brother. Three keys now. I don't want to assume, but
Oh, you can assume. Let's go with Star Trek.
Majel Barrett played many roles throughout the Star Trek franchise, two of which were the voice of the computer and what eccentric mother of Counselor Troi in The Next Generation?
Yeah, so Majel Barrett was also Gene Roddenberry's wife. She played Lwaxana Troi, Counselor Troi's mother.
Lwaxana is correct. All right, four keys in your pocket. Do you want to finish the category?
Yes, please.
All right, here it is, the four key Star Trek TNG question. The Enterprise D's sister ship shared its name with what battleship that, when launched in 1940, was the largest and most heavily armored battleship of its time?
What is it with these four key questions? Oh,
I mean,
man.
they're supposed to be hard.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no anger in my comment. There's frustration with myself. Battleships are traditionally named after states, and unfortunately, right now I'm blanking on the ship that Sulu commands at the beginning of the Undiscovered Country, because I think that might be it. The Excelsior is the one that I was thinking that Sulu commanded. I'm also trying to think if when Jellicoe took over the Enterprise for a couple episodes there, if he came from this ship. Yeah, I can't think of anything that's named after a state, and the only other ship that comes to mind is the Excelsior, so I'm going to go with that one.
This is the USS Yamato.
Oh, okay.
It is the Japanese ship Yamato.
Okay.
Yes. Captained by Donald Varley is the name. If that for the hardcore fans, you're doing very well so far, and I want to know where you're going to go next.
So far, it's been working for me pretty well. Just kind of taking the categories one at a time and going right down the line. So let's move up one to periodic table.
Periodic table unlocked question is this. Despite there being many elements on the periodic table, none of the abbreviations use what letter? The only letter to be absent on the entire table.
I want to say this is J, but give me a second. Yeah, I'll go with J.
J is correct. Are we going to continue the strategy here?
We are, yeah.
We are. One key question is this. Ask Barry Sanders, Ray Allen, or Frank Robinson. How many of the 118 elements on the periodic table are man-made?
You said Frank Robinson, not Jackie Robinson.
Well, you know what Jackie Robinson's number was.
Yeah. It's also the answer to life, the universe, and everything. How many are man-made? Sports is one of my weaker areas. Getting it that from the sports angle is not going to happen. I don't know the numbers of those players well at all. So my thought process is trying to figure out, I believe astatine was the first man-made, I think. And I want to say that's 85. So my thinking is that because there are 118 elements on the table, you know, you take the 15 to get up to 100, you take the 18, add that to the 15, you get 33. There's plutonium in the wild as well as uranium. So that shoots that theory down. Yeah, I guess I'll take just a stab in the dark with 33.
20 of the 118 are man-made elements. So unfortunately, I do have to take your key away, but there is a unlocked question to go to, and there are plenty of bonus questions. So this is where the strategy of the game comes into play. No keys, but plenty of options. Where are we going to go next?
Let's see what we can do with MASH. Let's go with the unlocked question there.
All right. In this category, the letters M, A, S, and H will appear in every correct answer. Your unlocked question is this. Mainly found in shopping malls, what store that is a subsidiary of Foot Locker sells sporting apparel, equipment, footwear, and accessories?
So that rules out Dick's. It's not the place with all the baseball caps lids. Probably going to kick myself when you tell me. Yeah, this is not coming to me. I don't know what it is, and it's been a while since I've been to a mall. I don't know.
This is Champs.
Champs. Okay. I have heard of that.
Champs is the correct answer. We have to go to bonus keys now.
And
we can go anywhere you want, but we can definitely get back into your expert categories. So Which bonus key would you like to tackle first?
Let's see what Stormy trivia is.
Here's a question I think you should know. We'll see what happens. Jeffrey Hunter, Sean Kenney, and Bruce Greenwood all preceded Anson Mount in portraying what Star Trek character who has seen far more significance in movies and shows in the 21st century?
This has got to be Captain Pike.
It is Captain Pike. You get your one key from your bonus question. You can go to MASH, or you could try to get another bonus key and go back into the periodic table. What do you want to do next?
Let's go with National Blank Day.
National Blank Day. Today is, as of recording, National Prime Rib Day. So here's your question. Prime rib in the United States is graded on 3 levels, with the top tier quality being prime, the bottom tier quality being select, and the middle tier quality given what name?
As you're reading the question, I was like, well, there's prime. Oh, okay, that's in the question. Well, there's select. Crap, that's in the question as well. I believe this is choice.
You believe, therefore it is. Choice. Excellent. Is correct. And you have 2 keys. USDA choice. Do you want to keep bonus questioning, or do you want to jump into a different expert category?
Let's go. I have 2 keys. Yes.
You do?
Let's go back to the periodic table.
Here is your 2 key periodic table question. During the Cold War, the radioactive isotope of what element that lends its name to a famous fictional element was used to estimate how quickly the Russian government was building nuclear weapons?
Well, the one that that jumps to mind is Krypton. But Krypton's a noble. Would there be a radioactive isotope of Krypton? You said lends its name to a fictional element?
Correct.
Yeah, I've got to say Krypton. I don't know what else it could be.
And it couldn't be anything else. You're correct. It is Krypton. Excellent. All right. You now have three keys. You want to keep rolling the periodic table or you want to jump somewhere else?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Let's see what happens here with your three key periodic table question. Perhaps apparent in the table's design, Dmitri Mendeleev loved what game as he used the elements' weights and sorted them according to the game's rules?
What jumps immediately to mind is Scrabble, sorted by weight, although there's also chess that has a similar layout. Mendeleev probably would have played a lot more chess than he would Scrabble because I don't think Scrabble was invented that early. Pieces on a chessboard, yeah, they're given different values. Yeah, I'll go with chess.
Chess is a great guess, and I think chess is the trap here. Because the game he loved and sorted by was Solitaire.
Oh, okay.
Solitaire is the correct answer there.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, I do have to take your keys, Ian. So now there's a clear path forward to more answers, but it will require at least one bonus key. What do you want to do first?
Let's try Deep Cuts.
And Deep Cuts, I'm going to tell you five songs from the first album of a classic rock band per your request. You'll try to tell me what band that is. Here they are. Rock and Roll Singer. Livewire. Can I Sit Next to You, Girl? Little Lover. She's Got Balls.
Okay.
You're going to want to look up She's Got Balls after this. I'm going to tell you right now, it is a banger.
Okay. So who would have... That's the one that kind of sticks out most. She's Got Balls. So who would have written a song with that title? They're not classic rock, but for instance, it's not The Carpenters.
Well, it's definitely not The Carpenters. You're correct about that.
It sounds like it might be something by AC/DC. After all, they bring up balls in another of their songs. Livewire sounds like a song that they would write. I suppose it could be Judas Priest. Doubt it's going to be Black Sabbath. I don't know why, but it just doesn't feel Black Sabbath to me. I think I'll go with AC/DC.
Let it be known that my poker face was immaculate when you said they mentioned balls in another song, because you are correct. You got your Deep Cuts question. It is AC/DC.
Excellent.
Congratulations, you got your AC/DC, and you have one key again.
Excellent.
And you can get back into MASH, and I think that is your only option here.
Yeah.
So let's do it, I guess.
Yeah.
MAS and H will appear in your correct answer. Here's your question. Part of the DC universe, the superhero who originally went as Captain Marvel was later played by Zachary Levi in two films under what name?
So, strangely enough, I learned about Shazam from MASH because it's mentioned during a couple of the episodes because Radar O'Reilly reads comic books. This is Shazam.
It is Shazam. That is correct. You have two keys now. We have a two-key MASH question in above. And we have bonus questions. What do you want to do next?
Let's go with the two-key MASH question.
All right, here it is. Daniel Radcliffe, Demi Lovato, Anthony Hopkins, and Bradley Cooper are among the many celebrities who suffer from what addictive chronic disease?
If chronic disease? So spelling what I think it is and trying to find all the letters in MASH in that word. They are all in it. I know that Daniel Radcliffe had some substance abuse problems after he finished, possibly while he was doing, but I know after he finished the Harry Potter movie. Let's go with alcoholism.
Alcoholism is correct. It has all four of those letters in it, and you have three keys.
All right.
Let's now keep choices going, are Mash. To be made. You're going to keep going? Here we go.
Yeah, let's keep going, Mash.
Your three key... quote-unquote MASH question is this. Followed by uniqueness, nerve, and talent, What characteristic completes a naughty acronym and is the first RuPaul looks for in choosing a winner of RuPaul's Drag Race?
I've never watched an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. So I think this is charisma, which would fit with that as far as an acronym. So let's go with charisma.
Charisma is correct. You have four keys. So now you're going to jump back to the periodic table. You're going to finish MASH. What are you going to do next?
I'm curious what the periodic table four key question is. So that's what we're going to go with.
That's what we're going to go with. Here it is. The periodic table is broken up into four blocks, each named for a different letter of the alphabet that can be found in the name of the Simpsons' hometown. Name all four blocks.
Oh, crap. Okay. Well, it's Springfield, and these are the S block, the D block, the P block. None of them are vowels. I don't think any of them are vowels. So that takes out the I's and the E. So that leaves me with R, N, G, and F. Trying to remember notation used for elements on the table and trying to picture any of these letters in that notation. So then, of course, you know it's based on the shells, the electron shells.
Do.
And then to shorten it, you use one of the noble gases to start off the series to keep it from being just incredibly long for the higher elements. R, N, G, and F are the ones I have left. And yes, I'm locking in S, P, and D. Let's go with F, as in Foxtrot.
Let's go with Ian got his four key question, as in...
Excellent.
That is correct. Yes, S, P, D, and F in that order. You have plenty of keys officially. Ian, congratulations. You're going to get to every single question on the board today, because the bonus keys can't break your streaks, and you have enough keys to get to that last MASH question. Not everybody gets to every question, and you have, so well done.
Yeah, since I got that one right, I do have all my keys left. Okay, let's go with that four-key MASH question.
Let's see what's behind four keys MASH. Your question is this. Giving it a name that is seemingly both a noun and a verb, Einstein Bagels calls its various flavors of spreadable whipped topping what made-up word?
Smash comes to mind. But is that a four-key worthy question? And it's probably something longer than just smash? I don't know. Correct. Okay. I think people have said that this is Yiddish, but I don't think it actually is. I'm going to go with schmear.
Schmear is correct.
Excellent.
Well done.
Let's go with when in the world.
Here is your clue. The Watergate scandal exploded. The OPEC oil embargo caused a massive global energy shortage. And Roe v. Wade became the law of the land for abortion rights.
Okay. So Nixon resigned in 74. That was the year I was born, so that's why it kind of sticks in my brain. And it's a good thing I don't base any of my passwords on the internet on things from my childhood, because we've gone over a lot of that in the last 5 minutes. So Nixon resigned in 74. Watergate must have broken loose previous year at least. I think he resigned in like April. You got OPEC, the oil embargo, Roe v. Wade. Okay. That's something I should know anyway. Let's go with 1973. Let's say it was the year before he resigned. 1973.
Yeah, apparently it took him a little bit to decide to resign, because you are correct. You got one in the world. There is one clue left on the board, and it is my favorite category of trivia. So here's your before and after clue, Ian. The company clerk with exceptional hearing, played by Gary Berghoff in MASH, goes to a car parts shop and comes back with an extremely catchy jingle in his head.
So, the character's Radar. Oh, his full name is Walter Radar O'Reilly. So, there's an O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, are you looking for Walter Radar O'Reilly Auto Parts?
Walter Radar O'Reilly Auto Parts is correct. That's
excellent.
Ian, you got 20 points. That's a really strong lockdown score. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. That was a lot of fun.
It's not an easy game. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Any plugs before we get out of here? Things coming up, highlights, anything like that?
I'm looking forward to SporkleCon. It's, you know, like I said, I grew up outside of Chicago, so it's like going home. So if anybody sees me at SporkleCon, you know, come and say hey. Otherwise, you know, what I got for everybody is, you know, just try to do something positive for your community, whatever community that is.
A good message. And there's plenty to do out there. If anybody wants to help but says they don't know how, you're not looking hard enough. There's so many places to make an impact. So I appreciate that. Ian, thank you for coming on. It was fun. And next time, I promise, there will be a proper MASH category that I will have spent weeks preparing for.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
Thanks again, Ian, for coming on. I cannot wait to write a proper MASH category and honor you with that next time you are on. Neither Ian or I knew it at the time of recording and at the time of writing these questions, but this was a very formative game for Lockdown Trivia because subconsciously, I decided that if someone is to get a perfect score in this game, they have to know their expert categories, but they also have to at least cover the other basic pillars of trivia. Ian had no sports mentioned in his expert categories, which is why I put a couple sports backdoors in there, or really a sports question altogether when it came to the Barry Sanders, Ray Allen, how many man-made periodic elements are there? That was more of a sports question than was periodic table. And I think in editing this episode and listening back to it, I realized that that's what I want this game to be. I want people to come on and have a blast playing their expert categories and do well. However, if you are going to get a perfect score in Lockdown Trivia, you're going to have to hit your pillars. You're going to have to hit sports, history, music, pop culture. You know, those things are going to be part of every game. So when putting your expert categories in, if you have omitted one of those entirely, expect something to come up. I don't know what game theory may rise from that. Maybe folks will try to do one of each for their expert categories and tempt me less to make a more obvious backdoor or obvious difficult question somewhere else by including one of those pillars. But that was a very formative game, and Ian was a great sport, and it was a lot of fun to write these categories, so I cannot wait to have him back on the show. Our bonus question comes from the Star Trek The Next Generation category, and it is this. Almost everyone in the cast became lifelong friends. In fact, Brent Spiner served as the best man, along with Sir Patrick Stewart, Jonathan Frakes, and Michael Dorn all serving as ushers for the 1992 wedding of what fellow castmate? While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Ian one more time for being on this episode of Lockdown Trivia and invite you to be on your own episode. You can click the link in the description of each episode to sign up. All you need is four expert categories and a favorite music genre. With Season 2 upcoming, there is exciting new gameplay in store for those that sign up from this point on. The correct answer to the bonus question is Geordi LaForge's actor, LeVar Burton. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. I can't wait to continue to learn, continue to write, and continue to play, but most importantly, continue to unlock our brains one key at a time. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll see you next week.
I don't know if you know this or not, but during the Wall tour, they had people physically building a wall in front of the band. And so there were just these huge blocks that they'd put up in front of the band. And so, you know, various things had to happen when certain pieces got put together and things like that. So, you know, followed the album and followed the show. And Comfortably Numb was the one time that he had during the concerts where he could just sit back and just play. And he didn't have to, you know, make sure it was exactly X number of seconds and minutes long.
I had no idea they built a wall in front of them during the tour. One of my favorite classic rock stories is when Angus Young got asked, how does it feel when people say you wrote 11 albums that sound the exact same? And he said, I'm sick to death of people saying we wrote 11 albums that sound the same. In fact, we wrote 12 albums that sound the exact same.